colleagues, officials from parliament, members of the media. We prefer that we start the meeting. We note that NCOP members have left Cape Town for the state of province addresses. And sure, most of them didn't come back. That will reflect in the apologies. And hopefully some NA members besides those that have apologized would still join us. The agenda for today has been circulated and it's got two key items, the program and the presentation on the five outstanding legal opinions of the 2016 received submissions. We will then accordingly first note in terms of the agenda the apologies. Are you going to do them, Chair, or Bert?
Okay, let me do them, Chair. Thank you very much. We have received the following apologies from the NA, Honorable Bjorkman, Honorable Mutapo, Honorable Motseha, Honorable Lothrit. Honorable Mbabama and Honorable Swart. And from the NCOP, we have received the following apologies. Honorable Mampuru, Honorable Motlashupin, Honorable Stock, and Honorable Mthanga. Those are the apologies that we have, Chair.
All right. Hopefully the other members will still come, and we're concentrating on the members that are members of the committee in terms of the recognition of the apologies, so not those friends that we had when we were doing the proposed amendment of Section 25. We had a lot of friends, committee friends, that were with us and who took interest from many other parties. So what we are recording are the apologies in terms of the 80 seat numbers of the committee. Chair, you would then introduce. We want to thank the legal advice office for making yourselves available to complete the 2016, and of course, I guess, readying yourself with the last 2017 and the 2018 batches of the received submissions. Chair will explain for easy navigation to you members in terms of these five outstanding opinions, which are all found in the green batch that we submitted and that we categorized and that we resolved to request legal opinions on. We've done 25 to give history, and we resolved to do 30, and we received 25, and we now going to do the last batch of the five opinions that were outstanding that we couldn't have time to complete because we had an urgent task that was imposed on the committee by the two houses on that motion that became the resolution of two houses on section 25 of the Constitution. So that's the context on which we are now resuming the normal business of the Constitutional Joint Constitutional Review Committee. Check.
Thanks very much, Chair. In the packages that members have, we have the opinions numbered from 1 up to 30. Number 6 up to number 30 have already been dealt with. So today we'll be receiving a briefing from number 1 to number 5.
You have to see it. Yeah. No, no, it's fine.
Okay. Number 1 is submission by Ahang with structure concerning various sections of the Constitution. Number 2, submission by Mr. Musi Maimane. Number 3. Who's this one? Can't see who the submitter is. Oh. Referenced 143/7. I believe it's from the Griqua Royal House. Yes. And then number 4 is a submission by Mr. M. Ngobeni. And the last one, number 5. Which request review for the amendment of section 100 of the Constitution is from a submission by Equal Education and the Equal Education Law Center. So those are the 5 opinions that we'll be favored with. Can I then take this opportunity to allow our legal officials to take us through?
Okay. Question time. Question. Yeah. We just want to, we would like to release members, it's a three-line whip. We would like to release NA members at least half past one is our target, but 20 to 2 at the latest. So please, as lawyers, you would try and do these things in 2-3 minutes, if possible.
Okay. You are allowed.
Thank you, co-chairs. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, members. I'm Barbara Lewis. I will be dealing with the first of the submissions noted by co-chair. With permission, chairs, I'm also dealing with number 5. Can I perhaps do the two and together, and then my part is done?
I think that will be very progressive and helpful.
Thank you. Then I will do so. The first one, as co-chair indicated, is the Hang Youth Structure. It's a petition by a few of their members. They highlighted a certain concerns, which briefly cover issues such as the lack of service delivery, discrimination concerns in relation to sex workers, abortion with considerations of human dignity, delayed arrests, a lack of resources in the health structure, a call for education, but specifically education structures, and then they also mentioned that there should be consideration of basic values of the public administration. These are the broad issues that this submission dealt with. On the point of a service delivery, they did not give any clear context or link as to which section of the constitution they are targeting with that concern. They did, however, highlight that their concern is linked to the fact that there are no paid-for shelter for old people, that being their direct statement. They did not express the link to the right. They didn't give us any indication of the context. From my reading of it, I would assume that they would have wanted to raise this concern either with relation to human dignity or social security, which is Section 27. But in the absence of any clear indication of what they specifically want amended, there's nothing for the committee to do with now. But the committee does have the right to refer it to a portfolio committee or other relevant committee in its report for further consideration during oversight. So that option is there. And I say this, when we drafted the opinions, Parliament was not yet so close to the end of its term. So that being said, it's perhaps something that can go in a legacy report for the next Parliament and committees to deal with. And then on the gender-based discrimination issue, once again, they mentioned it in the context of sex workers, and they didn't give any specific link to a clear constitutional provision that they think should be redrafted or reconsidered. Their concern appeared to be mainly linked to the application of the Criminal Law, Sexual Offences and Related Matters Amendment Act. That then is an issue where they're speaking of the criminalization in the context of sexual services, and that's something that is more oversight because it's application of legislation and the administration of the act than it is a call for a constitutional amendment per se. That then is something that this Constitutional Review Committee can similarly refer in its legacy report for oversight purposes to the next Parliament. The next topic that they dealt with is abortion and the right to life. Once again, no clear detail of the issue given. Freedom of conscience, religion, thought, and human dignity once again comes up as possible arguments that they would raise within this. But because they're giving no clear indication of what they want amended, and because the jurisprudence, our case law, has said that a fetus is not a bearer of rights, there's no indication of what they would like the Constitutional Review Committee to do with a constitutional amendment to help their plea. Once again, if I'm looking at it, I can draw it through to the application and the scope of the Choice of Termination of Pregnancy Act, which is then something, again, that is an oversight issue and the application of the Act, which can also be referred to oversight purposes to the next Parliament. Their argument under delayed arrest, which will fall with issues such as access to courts, arrested, detained, and accused persons' rights. This goes more to the effectiveness of the judicial system, which they are questioning, and they are asking that be evaluated. That, once again, is a clear oversight issue. It's not something in the Constitution that is wrong. In fact, they are relying on the constitutional rights to point out these issues. So they don't point out any redraft needed to Section 34 or 35, but merely request that Parliament look at the effectiveness of the judicial system. Then with regard to lack of resources relating to healthcare, they have certain concerns with regard to the provision of healthcare. There it is, when one looks at Section 27 of the Constitution, it's clearly, and the Constitutional Court has indicated this, drafted as a progressive realization right, which means it's something that you have your life-threatening and non-life-threatening. So life-threatening will be dealt with, that's the focus of healthcare, and then your additional treatments are explored and elaborated upon. So progressive realization means that you're emergency and non-emergency. So they'll deal first with emergency. And these are all linked to required or sufficient resources. So when it comes to your healthcare, resources is a big issue. Resources is not something that can be, that the Constitution is responsible for. Resources is something that it's an executive function, it's an administrative issue. So the realization of this progressive right from what community members and South African citizens have now and what they would like to have is something that is also oversight and executive perspective or focus, and not something that calls for an amendment of Section 27's wording, because the wording itself is quite broad and allows for the expansion and the provision of even more healthcare. Access to education, they aren't specifically focusing on education per se, but on education facilities. They're calling for more education facilities, and then they're linking back to the right to basic education, which is 29. Section 29 specifically does not address the infrastructure provided for education. That is an application and executive function. So once again, similar to their concern with Section 27, with the progressive realization, that's something that's application and directed and not amendment directed, which then also calls for oversight. Their last aspect was a concern with regard to the transparency and accountability of the public service. This omission makes broad reference to the basic values that guides the public service and therefore Section 195 of the Constitution. It doesn't provide any clarity on what they regard the issues are. There's no indication for me to say what they think is wrong with the basic values, if there is anything wrong, if it's an application issue. So without any guidance as to what drafting issue they could see or what mischief they want Parliament to fix, there is nothing for the committee to act on in that specific concern highlighted. That, co-chairs, through you then, is the submission by the Ahang Youth Structure. Chairs, with guidance, should I allow members to respond to it or continue directly to the next one?
I think it's better that we deal with them and pump them and then get to the next. Members, there you have it. The legal opinion on the submission by Ahang, and also you are also making some recommendations. Can I check with members how do you want to us to deal with this one? The recommendation says the request falls outside the committee's mandate as per its current Section 45 constitutional mandate, but other issues, as the opinion says, it's for actually the issue of oversight by specific committees dealing with a particular line function department.
I'm suggesting that in the program there will be a complete deliberation on in our next meeting or a meeting to come. There will be a deliberation on a full batch of 2016, that then we note the presentation and move to the next one until we consider all of them together.
Okay. I think that's agreed. Yes, you can. Are there any clarity-seeking questions on this presentation?
The chair, can I? You know, I appreciate the fact that you're telling us what is standing your submissions or your opinions. But I will rather propose that you do short and just table them. Shorter and table them, because we just gonna listen to you. We should read it for the next meeting.
So let's go to the next. It will be number 5.
On the question of abortion, what I want to understand, are you saying in 10 that we are bound by that court decision? Is that what you're saying? And if so, is it not supposed to be our duty to put something that is against that act? Is it not suggested, therefore, that, for example, if it's got the right to life, and then when the court says the fetus doesn't have, that we may actually say in the provision, including that of the fetus, do you get my question? Now, I mean, to just say it's not part of us, I don't understand. So just want to clarity on that. I understand that as a lawyer, you say so-and-so versus so-and-so. We're not discussing a case here. We're now changing the Constitution to clarify what the people want. One of them, what he wants to include the fetus as they've got a right to life, so that the Constitution is clear on that. And this is what I want to find out. What do you say to that?
Coaches, through you, members, this is very difficult for us in providing these opinions because we're very limited to what the people ask, and that is what the Hang gave me. So it's literally they say abortion chapter 2, there's 10 human dignity considerations. So what I try to do, and perhaps that was where the confusion came in, is I just tried to give the background of the abortion issue against that's linked to that, right? That's why the court reference is there. Parliament has the complete mandate and authority, if members so wish, and if they think the public needed to amend any rights and issues dealing with abortion. So that part, it's not that the submission itself asked for that. I just thought to give members some clarity because the submission itself was just a broad statement of asking the committee to reconsider abortions in light of Chapter 2. So there's no intent on my side to say that because I'm referencing that, Parliament can't change it.
So we can decide to do that.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Can we then go to the next submission?
Thank you, Co-Chairs. Through you then, and keeping it very brief, Mr. Ngobeni is a farm worker that wrote to Parliament. He is his prayer is basically two prompts. None of them are specifically dealing with amendments, but he says, can we please change the wording of X or Z in a specific section? His first call is just for the provision of constitutions. He says his community is not empowered as voters to have access to the constitution, and he has kindly requested that the committee aid in getting copies of the constitution to them. That is something very easily that can be done, merely by asking the acting secretary to through the public education office to provide the community with copies of the constitution, so that they can participate in a future phase of looking at the constitution. And then he also
just a moment. What's the reference of your opinion now?
It's CR16 /66.
Pardon?
16/66.
Where is that?
It's the fourth one. Sorry, it's the fourth one. Yes. Yeah, it's a very short one. Yes.
CR16/66 by Mr. M. Ngobeni.
Thank you, Chairs. Coaches, and through you, the second part of his prayer to the committee is highlighting their plea in regards to socioeconomic policy issues, stating that they don't have the food prices are rising, and because they're competing in a job market where they're older than the youngsters coming in, there's not sufficient support for them from a social economic policy issue. That is something that the committee can perhaps refer to the relevant portfolio committee as a petition or something to consider in oversight, to perhaps visit that community and see what their concerns are specifically. They just highlighted trade, occupation, and professional considerations in a socioeconomic context. Thank you, Chairs.
Thank you much. Any clarity seeking questions? Done. Chair? Okay. Who's responsible for the next? Okay. Start off by indicating which opinion is that.
Okay. Thank you, Chairpersons. I'm Suan Isaac. The opinion that I'm going to present is 1655, the submission by Mr. Mayamani. So Mr. Mayamani's submission is that we amend the Constitution to include a Section 89A. So this section will be titled Cessation of Term of Office of the President. And he says the following wording must be included. The President ceases to be President if he or she has been found by the Constitutional Court to have A, violated his or her oath of office, or B, committed a serious violation of the Constitution or the law, or C, committed serious misconduct. So this section that he proposes is an addition to the existing Section 89 impeachment process. Very briefly, my opinion states that according to Mr. Mayamani's submission, once the Constitutional Court has made a finding, the President will automatically cease to hold office. He does not give a role for the National Assembly, which is the body that elects the President. So while our current Section 89 process requires the National Assembly to make a finding and have a vote against for the impeachment of the President with two-thirds of his members, the process proposed by Mr. Mayamani does not exclude this role. So basically, there will be a case before the Constitutional Court. They may make a finding against the President, and the President automatically ceases to be President. I highlight the fact that this may be against the rules of natural justice, because any accusation should be given to the President before time, and he must be given the opportunity to defend himself. So my conclusion is that the proposed amendment may not allow the President the opportunity to defend himself. There's also issues as to how will this process take place. Will it just be that an ordinary case goes before the Constitutional Court and they make the finding, and then suddenly the President ceases to be holding office? So it's unclear as to how this process will take place. Also, I want to highlight that this submission predates the Constitutional Court's finding on the Section 89 process, where it required the National Assembly to implement rules to allow for impeachment. And the National Assembly has subsequently adopted very detailed rules as to how the current Section 89 process will be held, where the President will be given an opportunity to be heard, and then there will be a finding, there will be legal experts involved. So while this is something that policy consideration for the committee must be weighed against what has subsequently happened, and that we have adopted very extensive rules to deal with the Section 89 process. Thank you, Chairperson.
Do you have it, members? Honourable Mpumlwane, any other hand?
Well, the only comment I say that you did very well. And I don't think that, I think these people think that they will be permanently in the opposition, which I agree with them. And therefore they want to hit a president who is not necessarily their man. And I think that they are correct, and because they are dwindling, thank you very much.
Okay. So that's we are done with the third opinion. Can we have the next?
Thank you, members, and greetings to all of you and everybody in the house. My name is Pumela Lengema. I am dealing with CR 16/62, reference 143 of 2017. It is a submission from the Griqua Royal House, which I understand is the family of the Khoisan traditional leaders. Basically, Chairperson and the members.
Just a moment. Okay. You may continue.
Basically, what that submission is related to is into Chapter 12 of the Constitution, which is on the traditional authorities and traditional leadership. What they were saying or requesting that this committee looks into is to give them a recognition in line with what appears in terms of that chapter. Our opinion basically sets it out that in terms of what that chapter indicates, a traditional leadership and a traditional authority is encompassing of the Khoisan leadership, as a structure that is established and existing in terms of customary law. And what the opinion goes further to say is that even the judgments that we have quoted and the judgments that are aligned with this are confirming that understanding. The other sections that they were worried about are also involved, which are sections 232, 233, and 235 of the Constitution, which enables anybody to self-determine who they are, as well as whether it's culturally, religiously, or in whatever way. And as indicated, they also wanted that the international law should be given credence, and Section 232 is the section of the Constitution that speaks to that issue. So both the issues that they have raised, which is to be recognized as a Khoisan traditional authority, is already done in terms of the Constitution, as well as giving application and persuasive value to the international law wherever it applies and wherever we have rectified the agreements that are internationally standing. Lastly, Chairperson, I think the last point to point out is that, as we indicate again in the bill, is that at the time we had already indicated that Parliament is processing a traditional and Khoisan leadership bill, which is B25 of 2015. As we speak now, that process, and as we approach the end of the fifth parliament, that bill is being passed by both houses. It is a Section 76 bill. It has been concurred to by the portfolio committee, confirming the changes and the proposals that came from the National Council of Provinces. What it awaits now is the resolution of the House, so that it is passed from the National Assembly and it goes to the President. It is already work that the Fifth Parliament is and should be proud of, that definitely it will go through to the legacy report, and it is what the public wants, because there were extensive public hearings on it. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any takers on this one?
I think personally I agree, but they still have a problem to identify who is a Khoisan. Anyway, carry on.
That brings us to the last one. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Nachin Jenglane, and I'm presenting 16/67, the last opinion. This is the one that is on Section 100 of the Constitution. The submitters in this submission are Equal Education and Education Law Center, the non-governmental organizations that concern themselves with the right to equal education. They argue for the review and amendment of Section 100 of the Constitution, which is that section of the Constitution dealing with national intervention in provincial affairs. In the submission, they argue quite persuasively, Chairperson and members, that there is a need for a section like Section 100. However, its implementation has not been very effective. In that regard, they cite two examples, Chairperson, the interventions that have taken place in Limpopo and the ones in the Eastern Cape, particularly in the sphere of education. They argue that there is lack of clarity with regard to the roles and responsibilities as to who within the state organs must do what when Section 100 has been invoked. And again, in this instance, they cite the Eastern Cape examples where in the sphere of education, this section was invoked. However, not much intervention, or at least effective intervention, took place or resulted from that intervention in their view. And they argue, Chairperson, that this lack of clarity also leads to diminished accountability of the organs of state. They propose, Chairperson, that in order to cure what they seem to think is a problem, that the Constitution must be amended, Section 100, to make it a positive legal obligation on Parliament to create a legislation that will stipulate or at least provide what the roles and responsibilities of each of the organs of state that need to be involved or should be involved in the instance of Section 100 intervention. And secondly, Chairperson, they say that there should be a provision in that amendment for quarterly reporting by the National Council of Provinces in the instance of an intervention. And lastly, that the National Executive must also report quarterly on the challenges that it experiences when an intervention has been invoked. They contend that this will bolster accountability or improve accountability in instances of Section 100 intervention. We then provide an opinion in response to that, Chairperson, and we are of the view that they've made a compelling case for this amendment, and they cite practical examples which are well known to ourselves and possibly to members about how the interventions have not been as effective as they should have been, and that their contention is also backed by a presidential task team report on Limpopo. There have been also influential academic writings in this regard by professors such as Professor Metcalf, who's written and also made conclusions similar to those proposed by or alluded to by the submitters. This has also been supported by committees of parliament, Shepherdson, that there needs to be a legislation that provides for roles and responsibilities in this regard. The Basic Education Portfolio Committee, as well as the Select Committee on Finance, have alluded to this extent, that there needs to be a legislation in this area. However, Chairperson, regardless of all of those proposals for legislation by the task team, the academics, as well as committees of parliament, no such legislation has been proposed yet. And this goes as far back as 2011. And in this regard, Chairperson, we support, we are of the view that it should be supported that an amendment or a slight amendment be made to clarify the issues of roles and responsibilities in Section 100 of the Constitution. If the committee was so inclined, because the policy decision that needs to be made here vests and rests exclusively with the committee, Chairperson. That is effectively our opinion in this regard, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I see Honorable Mpumwana's hand is already up. Any other members who would like to have a bite? Okay, Honorable Mpumwana.
You are, if I understand you correctly, suggesting that an amendment be made to Section 100. Is it not, to make that clarification, is it not better if some kind of legislation, or say there will be a legislation clarifying that rather than it be the Constitution that is changed, amended on that, related to that, or a provision in the Constitution throwing us to a legislation that actually puts into details how it is holding ducks. Do you think we should club the Constitution with that as well? What is your opinion?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Member Mpumlana. So this, our opinion is very clear in this regard. We are not saying all of this detail which is proposed by the submitters should go into a constitutional amendment. However, what we seem to support, Chairperson, is an amendment which creates a positive legal obligation on Parliament to create a legislation which would stipulate what has been proposed by submitters. And therefore, the detail would go into the legislation if the members are so inclined to make the proposed amendment. Thank you.
I think that brings us to the end of the opinions. Then that will bring us to the second item on the agenda. Initially, we were saying we'll be adopting the committee program, but given the numbers that we have here, it might not be possible to adopt the program, but we still have to table this program to the committee. Right, and then, members, you have the draft program in front of you. The program. Honourable Smith?
Now, Chair, thank you very much. I just have one comment, and we've raised this even this morning. There are many committees that are going to have this problem. The 7th of March and the 14th of March are constituency periods. No? 20th of March. No, I beg your pardon. It's the 20th of March. No. I withdraw. Okay. I withdraw.
So
the idea, members, that we will have at least a maximum of 4 meetings in terms of this program. And to conclude the entire normal business of the committee. That will include adoption and, in fact, the key thing would be our resolution on the desirability, on the opinions that are submitted, and this is a batch of 3 years, 2016, 17, and 18, and that should go into the legacy report. The process of the legacy report is being undertaken as we populate the content through these last 4 meetings that are proposed. So that's the gist of the rationale behind this program, just to emphasize the importance of then trying to bring our colleagues so that we cooperate all the time to take these decisions to conclude on this work that is outstanding of this committee. I don't know if there are takers to make comments and suggestions and tweakings and all that on the program. Otherwise, we are tabling it for noting until we correct for adoption.
I just want to say, in the legacy report, it seems that this parliament is less serious about the importance of this committee. It seems like it's just a part-time committee nobody is interested in. It raises very, very important issues, and we do not deal with them. It's always piling. Work is always piling. Even this 4 meetings is very little. Unfortunately, we don't satisfy the members of the public, and we're not doing our job proper. Or at least the parliament is not serious about it. We is taken not like other committees. It's just taken as if, you know. So I think that should come into the legacy report. And you say that next parliament should really be serious, and we take this thing very, very seriously. Secondly, I'm not sure. I want to find out, is there anything that you can say you conclude, or we're just passing the buck to get the symbol all of them? Or, you know, to get the symbol all of them, you can't interest that guy. I get no, because I come back to a knock. We have finished this thing. I'm just asking. Thank you.
I think the concern will be highlighted in the legacy report. The concern that we are raising. What question?
Honourable Blana, there are certain things, and what the coach is saying. We will indicate the matters that are concluded and matters that are not concluded in the legacy report. For instance, we have made desirability to amend section 6.1 of the constitution on languages, to add the sign language. It's a concluded deal. The report was adopted. So there are reports that were adopted previously that recommend this, just like how we concluded with the section 25. So it gets there. It's a matter that is done. We're not. It's concluded. Remember, we can't do the legislation ourselves. We rely on the other people to pick up what we recommend. So passing the buck. Not sure whether it's a good term to describe us, but for now, that's what we are to do.
All right. Suspect, do you have any announcement to make before we close the meeting?
No, Chair.
Okay.
Except that we would request that in the next meeting, members bring the green copies with the green books that were circulated at the time we were dealing with. Yeah.
Yes. And also the files that we have circulated today. Yeah, the green books and the files that we have circulated today.
Okay. So, members, that brings us to the end of this meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Lunches will be served in the next few minutes. Yeah.